Hello out there. Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast. They've been called the Air Force best kept secret, but Civil Air Patrol shouldn't be any kind of secret at all. Today, we're going to learn about what this organization of more than 65,000 volunteers does every day to serve communities, save lives, and shape futures. You're going to be impressed, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Hello out there, warriors, past and present, and your families. And thank you for your service to our great country. Before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, and Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback with additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Vision, and USAA. Together, they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and I'm going to say it every week for you guys. We love them, too. Today, we're going to talk about the Civil Air Patrol, known as CAP, a Civil Auxiliary of the Air Force. And our guest, I'm excited to introduce him now. Our guest is Major General Edward Felka, the National Commander and Chief Executive Officer of CAP, and Todd Parsons, the National Command Chief, Master Sergeant, as well as a 28-year Army veteran. Well, finally, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's really great to be with you. We are huge fans, as you might imagine, so thanks for having us on your show.
You know, we're...
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Chief. And we appreciate you guys being
on. I was going to say...
Before we get into all of this, would each one of you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself? And, sir, we'll start with you.
Sure. I started as a Civil Air Patrol cadet. We'll talk lots about the cadet program, but when I was 14, I joined Civil Air Patrol. I found the organization. It turned out to be something that was really interesting to me, and I've been a member ever since. Outside of Civil Air Patrol, I'm a pilot, and I've worked in the aviation industry, software industry, proud, married, and father of two kids.
Oh, congratulations. I was going to say, who's in charge of that family, you or your wife? I'm not going to ask that now. But
Yes, is the answer.
Hey, Chief, how about yourself? Tell us about yourself.
Well, to start with, you know, even being on the show with you is just a pretty big deal for me because you are larger than life. You know, I was one of your soldiers many years ago. So to sit here, it's just a great honor, Sergeant Major. But for me with Civil Air Patrol, I was stationed at the Pentagon in 2011. And I joined the Civil Air Patrol to give myself a little bit of something extra to do. And I have been here ever since. I was completely amazed by the level of professionalism and volunteering spirit that I saw while I was amongst them. And even though I didn't join it at a young age, you know, I just threw myself into it to really catch myself up. And it's really given me a lot to do since I retired from the military.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I understand neither one of you are drawing a full-time paycheck at this high-level job, but we'll get to that, you know, later in the show. But really, that's a pretty high standard. You guys work pretty hard. I know that. Sir, how much is a Civil Air Patrol's membership is made up of volunteers?
Well, you mentioned at the top that we're 65,000 volunteers, and that is Civil Air Patrol's membership. We have some paid employees at our national headquarters, Maxwell Air Force Base, Alabama. And there are also some bookkeepers, wing administrators out in the states. But the vast majority of Civil Air Patrol is 65,000 volunteers. And we also have cadet programs. I think I might have mentioned cadets earlier. 65,000 people are volunteers. But of those 65,000, there's about 29,000 that are cadets from the ages 12 to 18.
Oh, wow. Is it hard to, you know, I've worked with a lot of different organizations throughout my time in life here. Is it hard to keep volunteers in your program?
Well, the volunteers come to Civil Air Patrol, and a lot of them find something about which they are really, really passionate, whether it's community service or learning about aerospace, learning about the military, learning about aviation. And those folks, they tend to stick with the program. But just like any other volunteer organization, you know, there's folks who come in and decide it's not for them and they move on. So our retention rate's not 100%. But volunteers who come in, they typically find our missions to be very meaningful and they do stick around for a long, long time.
Well, that was my next question. I was going to ask you, what's your retention rate? But you've already answered that because I want to let you throw something else in there.
Well, sure. Retention rates are somewhere between 55 and 60% for cadets. A little bit lower in that first year as young people are trying to find out, do they belong or do they not? But for our adult members, the retention rate is much, much higher. It's like 72 to 75% year over year retention.
You know,
and to just jump in off of that, you know, we have folks who just, you know, join because their kids join their cadet program. And I know many instances of a parent who will join and just ask to help out. And next thing you know, their child is retired military and they're actually a commander of an entire region. And we have one of those right now. So you hear these stories all over the place.
Well, you know, one of the questions I was sitting here thinking as I was reading about your stuff is, how do people learn about you? I mean, I've heard of the Civil Air Patrol, but I'm not sure I ever knew anything about them. But how do people really find out about what you guys are doing?
Well, it's just there's a number of different ways, you know, either learning by online. A lot of it's by word of mouth. We go out and we do an active recruiting program, normally through the youth. The youth is a big way to get in. Also through pilots, through the, you know, the FBOs where the pilots fly from. So there's many different ways folks hear about CAP, and there's just not one individual way.
Yeah, there's young people hear about it. They might go to an air show and see Civil Air Patrol members working at an air show. Other times it might just be a recruiting booth or someone visits their school, a friend is involved. They happen to be involved in the same academic groups or the same extracurricular groups. And they might just tell their friends. A lot of our recruiting is just word of mouth.
Yeah. You know, I'm really pretty active in social media. Do a lot of social media about getting information out there about what you guys are doing?
Yeah, we sure do. Civil Air Patrol has a YouTube channel. We're on X. We're on Instagram. And, of course, Facebook. And then we've got an active website. If you want to know more about Civil Air Patrol and how to join, you can go to joincap.com.
Oh, wow. Hey, Chief Parson, what is the Civil Air Patrol's mission?
Well, so we have more than one mission. So we have three major missions which are congressionally chartered, the first one being aerospace education. You know, we are chartered to help inform the public and to promote aerospace education and interest in aviation. We do this in different ways, including putting teachers in the classroom with STEM kits. They're called aerospace education members. And so we can reach an audience down to the kindergarten level and, you know, really create a desire there for STEM careers and aviation interest. Then we have a cadet program. Our cadet program normally starts at the age of 12 and can go as late as 20, but many, you know, cadets stop around 18. And, you know, we focus really on building citizens, whether physical fitness and aviation and military drill. And then we have emergency services. And emergency services is comprised of things like air and ground search and rescue, the natural disaster imagery, and then also homeland defense missions. We also have, with the use of new technology, some exciting things.
Sir, yeah, technology has actually become a huge part of our emergency services mission. As Chief mentioned, we've got air and ground search and rescue, we've got post-disaster imagery, and then homeland security missions, but technology really, really coming to the forefront. We've got radar forensics technology available to us. Our members developed cell phone forensics technology that speeds resources to folks who need them, whether it's a missing hiker or a downed airplane. And then we've got a geospatial information systems team that takes those post-disaster images that the Chief was talking about and is able to analyze them and give feedback to FEMA with regard to level of destruction of property or how big debris piles are, so we can put exactly the right resources, or FEMA can put the right resources where they're needed. So all of those things that we use our assets for, but also how we help other federal agencies do their work, that's part of our emergency services mission.
Yeah. Chief, would you give us an example of just one way that Civil Air Patrol responds after a national disaster? I was talking to someone, we're down in Nashville where the studio is located. We had some tornadoes come through in December. What did CAP do here? Did they do anything with something like that? Or if it's a national disaster, would you guys do anything down here with tornadoes?
So we have a number of different things our members can participate in, especially what's really big for FEMA is aerial photography. You know, being able to go and do damage assessments overhead, whether it be with our aircraft or through drone. We also have folks who can help with a point of distribution with FEMA and a lot of different services like that. So it just depends on what the mission is and what FEMA requires or asks of us to do.
Yeah, you stay pretty connected to FEMA all the time, I guess, anyway, don't you?
Yeah, FEMA is one of our biggest customers. We do a lot of missions for various federal agencies, including the Air Force, FEMA. We also will work for state agencies. So you mentioned tornadoes in Nashville. It might be the state of Tennessee that asks Civil Air Patrol to help out, and we could do that in the form of aerial imagery. We could fly looking for missing people. We had hurricanes that went through Florida, and part of what we were doing, both with aircraft and with drones, is we were looking for people in distress, and we saved lives that way.
Wow. You know, it's amazing to me that I just have not, I mean, I know the Civil Air Patrol was out there, but I just have never talked to anybody that really had been in the Civil Air Patrol. This is really interesting. I want to talk about the cadet program, because I think that's really interesting, especially developing young kids to be good Americans. But we need to take a quick break, so hold that thought. And you're watching and listening to Your Next Mission Video Podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major. And don't forget, if you're enjoying this discussion, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. Also, click on the bell next to the subscribe button to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after this word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. And Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with Major General Edward Felka, National Commander and CEO of Civil Air Patrol, and National Command Chief, Master Chief Todd Parsons. Chief Parsons, would you tell us a little bit about the cadet program? What can they, when can they start, and what are they taught?
In most cases, cadets can start at the age of 12. So unlike JROTC, which is start at 14 and go to 18, which is a high school program, our cadets can join at the age of 12, and the cadet program ends when they turn 21. However, we encourage them to stay on board forever because there's opportunities to serve as an adult volunteer. But some of the big things that they learn within the cadet program being, discipline, physical fitness, a lot of aviation and opportunities. All our cadets have the opportunity to have five what we call orientation flights. You know, that's hands-on controls in an aircraft with an actual with a syllabus with a flight instructor. These are paid for by the United States Air Force. So it's the aviation piece as well as the discipline piece that they learn. We don't really do this just to create future military members. We do this to create citizens and leaders, no matter where they are, whether it be at home, at school, or in business, or if they do want to explore a career in the military. But we're here to make citizens.
Yeah, I would think you're great role models for these young adults. I mean, that's what they're looking for, somebody that really shows them, exactly what right looks like. Sir, why is the cadet program so important?
Well, as Chief was saying, we're developing citizens. We're helping to develop tomorrow's civic, business, and military leaders. And as a matter of fact, about 10% of every Air Force Academy's entering class has CAP experience of some sort. When I joined at age 14, I was particularly interested in going to the Air Force Academy, and that ended up being part of my path. But the rest of my path really was looking at this entire arc of my experience in the cadet program learning about leadership and aerospace education, character development, what at the time we called moral leadership, now we call character development, physical fitness. It really set me off kind of on a good path of life. It set me up with practical leadership experience that allowed me to go into the business world outside of CAP and be very successful in the airline industry. I was a manager at a major airline at age 27, based on some of the practical leadership experience that I received in Civil Air Patrol. I had learned how to explore my leadership style and lead my peers at a very young age. So our cadets have that opportunity, and they leave our program with a tremendous amount of practical experience that's immediately applicable in the real world.
Absolutely.
How many cadets come in and stay for the entire, as long as they can stay? Is the turnover do they stay 1 year, 2 years, 3 years? How long do they
Sure.
stay?
And it varies greatly. Our cadet retention rate, once the first year is done and they kind of figured out whether the Civil Air Patrol is something they want to do or not, about 55 to 60% of those cadets just continue on in the program. And a good number of them stay cadets as long as they can, all the way till their 21st birthday, which is you have to stop our cadet program at 21 and you can become an adult leader at that point.
Yeah.
But a good number of our cadets do stick around. That's what I did. I joined at 14 and I stayed a cadet all the way till I turned 21 and then immediately started giving back to the same program that gave me so much.
Yeah. I would imagine the families get involved quite a bit in a program with their sons or daughters or whatever. Yes, I see.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
Like I said earlier, we capture a lot of folks family-wise. Once they join with their sons and daughters, they end up staying.
Is a lot of military families that put them in the program or non-military? Do you have a mixture of both?
It's actually a really good mixture of both. There are a good number of current and former members of the military who are adult leaders in Civil Air Patrol. But there are plenty of folks who are moms and dads, teachers, chaplains, accountants. We have people from all walks of life in and out of the military, and everyone is welcome in Civil Air Patrol. No matter what it is in your career field, chances are we've got a job for you in Civil Air Patrol because we have such a wide range of missions and a lot of different things that are required of us. We need to maintain our airplanes, logistics, finance, obviously the pilots, the folks that go out and do the missions, the ground team leaders. But there's plenty of folks behind the scenes that are absolutely essential to getting the work done.
Yeah, I'm so glad. Go ahead, Chief.
And one of the things I really want to point out is that, you don't need to be a particularly fit person or you just come as you are. I've seen folks who are blind in wheelchairs and any number of things, and they come and they produce. I recently did a small story on LinkedIn about we have a squadron commander who was born blind, and yet, he wears an Air Force uniform and has a guide dog, and he's highly respected. So the sky is the limit within the Civil Air Patrol. You just come, and you will definitely, be an asset.
Yeah, we've got a lot of underrepresented groups in Civil Air Patrol. There's a person with no legs who's a very effective communicator, sits at the mission base and is on the radio and talks like he's an air traffic controller. He's just so incredibly adept at that and doesn't need to have legs to perform that job very, very well.
Absolutely.
Couldn't be in the military in that situation, but highly effective as a mission operator in Civil Air Patrol. So plenty of underrepresented groups, whether it's aviation or STEM fields. There's a lot of different jobs that folks can do in Civil Air Patrol.
Well, first of all, let me tell you, thank you guys for, I do not know much about the Civil Air Patrol. And you guys are doing a tremendous job, not just for the Civil Air Patrol, but really for our country. And the development process is just unbelievable. We have a lot more to talk about, but we need to take a quick break. So don't go anywhere. I know you're not, and I'll be right back. This is your Next Mission Video podcast. Here's a word from two more of the organizations who make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
And USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken. whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Major General Edward Felka, the National Commander and CEO and National Command Chief, Master Sergeant Todd Parsons of the Civil Air Patrol. Remember, this is your show. Tell us about your transition. Tell us what topics you'd like us to cover. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. And the really big surprise, I'll reach back out to you. Chief, Civil Air Patrol doesn't have a combat mission now, but that wasn't the case back in World War II, was it?
That's correct. You know, the Civil Air Patrol started on 1 December 1941, a week before Pearl Harbor. And then they were part of what was known as the Civil Defense Corps, you know, so which is the predecessor of FEMA. But immediately after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, the Civil Air Patrol was put under the United States Army, and their mission drastically changed. And one of their missions, believe it or not, was members would take their own personal planes, paint them into the livery at their own cost. And the only thing the Army did was supply them with bombs, small bombs that would go on the underside of these planes, and they would do a submarine patrol.
Oh, my goodness.
And with the thought of bombing, believe it or not, submarines. So that's where we started. Now, we don't have a combat mission anymore, but, you know, our wartime mission is really what we started it at.
I guess if there was a war, they would probably call you back in to do something, I guess, wouldn't they?
We had a variety of missions. Think back to 9/11. When 9/11 happened, all of aviation was grounded across the country, and one of the first airplanes to fly was Civil Air Patrol, and we did a blood transport mission from Kentucky up to the New York City area. So there's a lot of humanitarian missions that we do today that are not combat, but they assist combat forces to be able to do the things that only they can do, so we can do the other things that those force multiplying kind of missions. We also do some homeland security missions that help train those combat folks. We will fly as tracks of interest for those interceptors who would have to track somebody who's flying into a temporary flight restriction. We allow them to practice with us, and we give them feedback. So that's part of what we do.
Do you ever go? Train with like the Army, the Marine Corps, or any of the other service? Do anything with them? Any kind of training?
I would say not exactly like that. We provide training resources for them. One example I'll give you is in the Air Force. There's a lot of members of the Air Force who are interested in becoming Air Force pilots. And we provide, as part of our fleet of aircraft, we've got 540 aircraft in Civil Air Force fleet. That's the largest fleet of single-engine piston aircraft in the world. We will, with our flight instructors and our airplanes, we will take members of the Air Force and give them flight instruction and ground instruction, simulator instruction, so that they can be more competitive when they want to go compete for Air Force pilot slots. So that's one of the things that we'll do together with the Air Force. We don't necessarily train alongside them, and we're not training to be members of a combat force, but we empower members of the military along with the training that we can provide to help them be better at what they do.
Absolutely. We are the civilian auxiliary. So like I said, we're a quasi Title 10 organization. We are half Title 10, and we do fall into the United States Air Force to fulfill the non-combat missions of the United States Air Force. And then on the other side, we're a Title 36 organization, you know, like the American Red Cross, a benevolent congressionally chartered organization.
Do you have to be a pilot to be, you know, in the Joint Civil Air Patrol? You don't have to be a pilot, do you?
Nope, not required. As I said, we've got about 65,000 volunteers. Only about 3,000 of those folks are pilots.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's an essential mission that we have is flying airplanes, but it by no means is all we do.
Yeah. Sir, first of all, let me say this has been an incredible discussion. I've learned a lot, and I've enjoyed talking about it. I want to wrap things up by revisiting an important point that you both talked about when we got on the show, or I asked you about it anyway. You're both volunteers, and you're putting in long hours and long weeks, and you don't get a paycheck. I can't think of too many people would do it without getting paid. So I guess my question is, why? Why would you do it without you know, without getting any money, I guess, and then return it. So we'll start with you. Sure. Before you even say anything, most people probably would not do what you do. And I thank you for that. But that's a lot of hours. So again, why, sir? Why?
I'll tell you, you're half right. We don't get a paycheck that we can take to the bank. We don't get money that makes our bank balance go up. But we do get paid in a different way. And I'll tell you what that is. And something that I like to call the volunteer paycheck. When you work with young people or you mentor others, you help guide somebody along their path, chances are that person remembers that type of experience. And I had that happen to me a couple of different times. I was a squadron commander in Michigan, and I helped this young person along in his path. He was a Civil Air Patrol member for a few years, and he had a very good experience, and then he moved on. And a couple of years later, I got a phone call out of nowhere, and I picked up the phone, and he said, is this Major Felka? I said, yes. And he told me who he was, and he says, you probably don't remember me. I said, of course I do. I remember you. What can I do for you? And he said, I just wanted to call and say thank you. I'm like, thank you for what? We haven't talked in years.
Yeah.
And he says, I wanted to tell you that I'm a crew chief on an F-16 at Luke Air Force Base. I'm married with a kid, and I would never have gotten here had it not been for you and what I learned in Civil Air Patrol. And my jaw dropped, and I got all, you know, emotional about that. I got choked up. And that's a volunteer paycheck. That's when someone reaches back and says, what you did for me made such a difference in my life. And Chief, you probably had that same experience, haven't you?
I definitely have. One of the things that really stands out in my mind is I was doing a national cadet competition right outside of Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio. And one of the judges there was an Air Force Honor Guardsman, big, tall, 6-foot-plus, you know, just I was looking up to him. And he came over to me and said, you don't remember me, do you? And I said, no. And he said, I can't believe you forgot me. I was your first cadet in Germany. And I said, well, you were 12 and you were like this high, you know, but to see them grow up so fast and then, you know, to follow the footsteps, and that's just worth its weight in gold right there. Yeah. You know, when I was in the Army, I really didn't do it for the money, clearly, right? You know, most of us, we just didn't. We did it because we love doing what we do. And so this is just another example of taking all the things that person I learned in the military, and I call the Civil Air Patrol, it is the best part of being in the military.
Yeah. I used to tell people you have, oh, go ahead, sir, you want to say something for real quick?
No, I just, Sergeant Major, I just wanted to say just real quick, a quick plug for Civil Air Patrol.
Yeah, yeah.
65,000 volunteers across the nation. 1,400 community-based squadrons. There's no need to be anywhere near a military base. We've got Civil Air Patrol squadrons in all 50 states, Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, and 11 different locations in overseas areas that are for dependent children of military members who are stationed overseas, England, Belgium, Germany, Italy, Japan, Guam, South Korea. We've got Civil Air Patrol squadrons across the world. So if you're interested in Civil Air Patrol, go to joincap.com. Take a look. We'd love to have you take a look at our organization. Stop by a meeting and see what we're all about.
I was going to let you do that in your final thoughts anyway. Yeah. Hey, look, what I was going to say a minute ago is that it's the little things in life that mean a lot. I mean, when you have an engagement that lasts 10, 15, 20 seconds with a young person, that's an important time. And you have a tremendous impact. And what you both were talking about, I know I'm getting a little bit older here, like, every day anyway, but I still get letters and emails from, not letters anymore, but emails from people I met 20 or 30 years ago and thank me for something that I did for them. So based on what you just said, you're doing a great job. Those are little things that really, really make you feel good. You know, this has been a great, just great having you on the show. And I know I've learned a lot. There's no question in my mind about that. And I hope, and I'm sure our listeners have learned, listeners and viewers have learned a lot too. Any final thoughts or anything that maybe you want to leave the audience with that, you know, that we missed or we want to go back and talk about again?
Well, a lot of members of your audience are either current or former military. And I just want to stress that there is no need for you to have any military experience to be part of Civil Air Patrol. We value that experience a great deal. And if you come into Civil Air Patrol with military experience, you can get advanced grade. You can come in quickly at a higher rank. If you're an officer, chances are that officer grade is mirrored. We have an NCO Corps for those of you who are current or former NCOs. Regardless of branch of service, we can mirror some of those grades with a little bit of Civil Air Patrol specific training. That's easy to do, but You don't have to have any military experience, and there is no obligation for anyone to serve in the military if you're in Civil Air Patrol. So cadet members do not have to go on to the military. It's not required.
If you're a volunteer, how many hours do you think you give a week? 4 or 5 hours, 10 hours? What's the normal?
What do you think?
Well, this is my other full-time job. I call this my volunteer career.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it varies greatly depending on your level of service. If you're in a squadron, you can come to one meeting a week. It's like a Tuesday night from 6:30 to 9, and you don't have to do much more than that. There's a weekend activity like once a month. Sometimes folks will go to a week-long summer event. But the higher you go in the organization, if you command at the state level or the regional level, it's a little bit more involved and a little bit more work. But really, it's up to you as a volunteer. There's no specific time commitment. You don't have to sign a paper that says, I will serve for this long. Yeah, you serve at your pace and however you choose, and we welcome all of that service.
Wow. Chief, I'll give you a shot, too. Any final thoughts, anything that maybe you want to say to the audience?
Well, like General Felka said, you know, it's all about service, and there's plenty of opportunities for it. I do want to hit one plug, and that's for our NCO Corps, just as General Felka said, and that, you know, we are looking for NCOs. So, you know, any of your audience, those NCOs who are retiring who want to continue their service and get the best parts of what they used to do. The very unique thing about our NCO Corps is that by the Air Force's rule, in order to be an NCO and CAP, you had to have been one in the military, in any of the military services, the armed forces. And so we don't make NCOs, they come to us. And what we do is we give them CAP specific training. But there's plenty of opportunities for service. We like to say that the sun never sets on CAP because we have squadrons all over the world. And we always look forward to new volunteers who want to serve with us in the rest of our mission.
There you go. Hey, once again, website, phone number. You want to give out the website again, sir, or phone number, or somebody can contact you?
If you're interested in joining, joincap.com. And that's the website where I'd start, right there.
All right.
Well, any phone numbers, you go to joincap.com, and you can find your local squadron and get in touch with the folks in your area.
Oh, wow. Again, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and thank you for what you do for the Civil Air Patrol, but also for our country and the development of our young adults in this country. It's a big deal. I wish more people knew something about it. And we're going to help you. We're going to get the word out as much as we can. But you're doing such a great job, and I certainly appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show.
Our pleasure.
Thanks thank you. Thanks for having us.
All right. Thank you. I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant of the Army. You've been watching Your Next Mission video podcast with Major General Edward Felka and Chief Master Sergeant Todd Parsons of Civil Air Patrol. Log on to our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. Hopefully it's a good review. While you're there, you can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners who have jobs and services available that can assist you in your transition from the military. We also added a job board in partnership with Recruit Military that allow you to search for a job that's just right for you. Check out this video on our website to learn how to fine-tune your search. You can also create your individual profile scanning the QR code on the screen or the one on the website. All information collected is confidential and will not be shared. Please know we're here to help you, and this is another way for us to do that. You can also follow me on all my personal social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, or X, as we now call it, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Rumble. If you like what we're doing on Your Next Mission, please click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about all of our upcoming video podcasts. Remember, we want to hear from you. Leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134 or send me an email SMATilley@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Major General Felka and Chief Master Sergeant Parsons for joining us today. As I listen to the Civil Air Patrol today and all the things that they're doing for our young adults, it's amazing the kind of young kids that they're developing and growing to be our future leaders in our country. You know, today before we talked about the Civil Air Patrol, I didn't know anything about them. And they taught me a lot about what they're doing, not just for their community, but really for our country. Each and every day, they're making citizens for us to be future leaders. So God bless them for what they're doing, and keep up the great work. Again, thanks for watching. Thanks to New Mind Students, and of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield, FAP Vision, and USAA. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.